All right, from Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett, and thanks for joining us as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and Vancouver Island. Hey, John.
Hey, Darren. Great to be back in studio. We've kind of been out of here for a while yeah. And sort of on and off, and it's now to finally sit down and sort of focus on this a bit more and get going on some more episodes and getting some more people in here to chat with.
But yeah, I think it's been, I mean, I'm not sure exact dates, but I think it's the last time we were actually in studio was right around Flavor, which I think that was mid-September and we're in mid-November.
Yeah, sort of we took October off basically, and it wasn't purposely, but it just sort of all rolled out that way.
Yeah.
We both had tons of things on the go, and definitely we just got that episode with the interviews you did from Flavor, which was a lot of work, but totally.
Well, I think that was the big thing too. I don't think anybody, I mean, maybe you can talk about that for a second, just that we got all that, we went and talked to everybody at Flavor, pretty much everybody that we could, everybody that had set up, everybody that was there for any real particular reason, and just sifting through all of that, that alone took quite some time on everybody's part.
I know everything is fantastic for you, which is not something you'll hear a lot of on a lot of the recordings, but right.
Yeah. But it's good to be back in studio.
Yeah, it's definitely good to be back in here and continuing our ongoing conversation of culinary experiences and things we've done. So
yeah. Well, what have you been up to, John?
Well, you know, I've been very steady with mm-hmm. the Atlas, and of course, that's a full-time job and a half for me, of course. Other than I have taken a little bit of time off and did a little bit of an excursion, but right. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, it's sort of been, you know, the summer big crunch has been over, so it's been, everyone's sort of been taking a little bit of time off and getting some time to relax and getting back off the...
Right.
Getting ready for Christmas season again, so...
Right, right. Yeah, I've been, I mean, obviously I pick up the school lunches that I do. So I've sort of added that into the mix, and the kids being back in school and, you know, just everything for me, just that change of schedule, change of routine, and then adding in all that extra work. It's definitely been difficult to fit some things in and difficult to allot time where it's needed. And then... you know, I mean, being that we're talking about it right now anyways, one of the things that put us off from doing a few episodes was James was our sound guy, the guy that records all our episodes, that this wouldn't be possible without.
For sure.
James had to do some upgrades. So again, it was just all timing. It was like my stuff came up and then your stuff came up and then James' stuff came up. And all of a sudden, a month and a half had passed.
And yeah, and so now we're back in here, and so yeah. James has some new computers and some new equipment, so things should go nice and smooth, and we're getting excited to have a few more guests, and I've had quite a good day just going out and chatting with a few people and sort of finding out, getting them interested, and I'm not going to drop any names, but I have definitely a list of people that have some free time in January who really want to come in here and chat with us.
Oh, that's cool.
And tell us about their story and what got them into the food career that they're doing right now and what they're doing in the Valley. So
awesome. Well, I look forward to that.
Yeah. I guess we could go into a little bit about my mm-hmm. last little experience, because I got away from the Comox Valley.
I know, and you never get away from the Comox Valley.
I don't get away often, or I do short little trips, you know. I'll get to Victoria, or I'll go to Vancouver, or, you know, even just down the island to Nanaimo or Parksville or any of those places, right?
Yeah.
It's always great fun for me, or even up north to Campbell River. Mm-hmm. But I got out of the province.
Got out of the country. Yeah.
So I went straight down to Portland, which I went as a food, I wanted to check out some food. I wanted to go to a foodie place.
And right.
Everything I hear out there is check out Portland.
Yeah.
And I know we've had a few people in here talking about food carts. We had that whole episode, is that a good idea? Is it a bad idea? And I thought, you know what? You know, like, sounds like it's not that far away. Let's go check this out and see what this food cart thing's about. And let's see what the restaurant scene's like down there. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, it makes sense to me. I would have... If you're wanting to go on a little culinary adventure that's not too far from home, it seems like a great place to go.
Yeah, and I was very impressed.
Yeah?
The food was amazing down there, and it was really great, and it was everywhere. And everyone had a story about what they wanted to, what they were serving you, and how they were doing it.
Right.
And there was a lot of experimenting, like trying different flavors and, you know, incorporating this into this and sort of doing it on a nice scale. So it was really, really energizing for me and a positive thing for me too, because I kind of feel like we have that same scene here.
Yeah.
Just on a much smaller scale.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of a little bit rewarding for me in that sense. So
I'm curious, you said there was some like experimental things going on. Was the experimental food good food? You know what I mean? Like people can be experimenting with good ingredients and sort of cobble something together, but they can be experimenting with a bit of knowledge and put some great stuff together. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's it, you know, like the tasting menus, like, we went to a bunch of places and had like, you know, a 10 course dinner and different flavors and different courses and stuff like that, which was, and they were shared plates. And so that was kind of a lot of fun, you know?
Oh yeah.
I had ice cream that was turkey dinner. Like
what?
It was great. It was amazing. So they did a turkey ice cream, and then I had a sweet potato and yam ice cream to go along with it. So this is like Thanksgiving. Like I was thankful for that. Like that was just a great experience for me. So
crazy.
I would love to name off all the restaurants I went to, but it was just an eating fest.
Yeah. I mean, when you came back, you touched on it and you said that you pretty much just everything was just eat, eat, eat. You were just trying as much as you could in all the different places.
Yeah. I didn't feel like I was doing the touristy thing. I felt like I was going from coffee shop to brewery to you know, sandwich shop to over to a fine dining restaurant, then over to, you know, an ice cream shop or whatever. So it was just back and forth and always looking for something new. And I probably didn't even scratch the surface of what they have available for eating there and for to actually experience. So
anything particularly stand out?
You know what? I would say everything stood out for
really?
Me, you know, like I had, you know, praline bacon breakfast, you know, like, you know, everything was, I didn't have really bad meals down there, you know, which is kind of almost shocking to me in some sense, because you always expect to have a couple duds and
For the amount of places that you hit, you'd expect to be at least something, one, two.
But, one that I was like, I can't believe this. And there was a wrap that we had as we were, before we got there, that was like, this is just not right.
Oh, yeah.
But then after that, all the food was excellent. So I can't really knock anything. So it was a good experience for me, and it really energized me a little bit to get back in the kitchen and sort of try some more stuff and experiment and push my limits a little bit. So
cool.
As for food carts.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about the food carts?
Oh. You know what? Like, I do have a little hesitation to food carts, and I know it's definitely been something that we've talked about here, and there's a push for bringing food carts in, and I completely understand it. Being in a restaurant, it's a little scary because it's taking away from that pie. What I found down there is I think it's making that pie bigger.
Yeah.
And probably is the reason I went down there was because they have this, and yet I went down there, I didn't really eat at many food carts, even though I had a few samples from here and there, but it was like, and the stuff that was in those carts was amazing, and they did take up full parking lots.
Wow.
And just set up tents, and there'd be food carts all around them, and they had like fires burning, you know, like,
wow.
And so it was nice and warm, and you could get a soda, you could have a beer, you could get some fries with like poutine or something like that, or one of 100 sauces they decided that day to put on there. You know, there was, you know, lots of barbecue places, like pulled pork, every ethnic food you can even dream of was there, you know, and everyone sort of giving their little experiences. And it always seemed like there was a lineup everywhere. Which wasn't, I mean, not a lineup that was unbearable, but there was definitely, you had to hit some places and get there fast. So
that's cool.
Yeah. We kind of lucked out. Like I remember we went to Salt and Straw. I think that's the ice cream place that I was talking about. And just lining up there. And we walked in the door and went straight up to the...
You're kidding.
And they got ice cream. And literally 2 minutes behind us, about 10, 15 people walked in. They're like, whoa, this filled up fast.
Right. Wow.
But just perfect timing on our part, I think, just to hit there. So
cool.
Yeah, I also did the cocktail scene. That was a lot of fun. I mean,
yeah, more to Kirsten's wheelhouse there.
Yeah. Like she had Clive Common, which was a book she had gotten We'll have to put that up on our post here sometime so people can take a look at that one. It was a book that really helped her along, and she really enjoyed it, and that was one of her places that she really wanted to go to. And we went in there and had, actually the food was amazing there too. Like we had a big spread of food there and a couple cocktails, and they were fabulous. And then we were actually talking to our server there, and he recommended another place that was just outside of where we were staying.
Oh, wow.
So we went in and checked out that place. That was the Sapphire Room there.
And another cocktail bar.
Another cocktail bar. And we just sat across from the bartender as he went. And it was really neat to watch him because everyone was supporting him. He was stirring cocktails, like shaking and stirring and mixing and stuff like that. And he's just throwing his dishes to the side, and people were walking by and cleaning up his mess as they went along. And his glass would go up there and garnish would go on. And it was, people were there for the cocktails. And it was a neat experience to see.
I have like a decade of bartending under my belt too. I would totally love to see something like that. You know, even though I'm not a bartender anymore.
Yeah.
I would absolutely like to see somebody that's a master of their craft doing it.
And just coming up with creations. And, we're like, what do you recommend? And Kirsten's like, we don't get this and this and this. And he's like, I got these two drinks for you. And boom, we're right up there. So.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Cool. So in general, it was a great thing. One last thing that I really want to bring up is we did hit their farmer's market.
Yeah.
Which was up at their university. And that was amazing. And it was beautiful. And it was miserably raining. Cats and dogs. We got drenched. But.
Oh, no.
They made up for it with all the food that they had. There were samples. Everyone had samples. And so you could just go along, and we bought a few things, some gin and some sausages, and just went along and sampled and tried a bunch of the food. And they had over 100 and some odd, I think it was 150 vendors or something crazy. So it just was like one after the other after the other. But it wasn't like the same repeat of the same foods, right? There was a lot of different things and a lot of people doing some different things, you know, like kimchi and sauerkrauts and all these great foods out there. So
like a little more in the prepped foods, like the prepared foods?
Yeah, a little bit more in the prepared foods, but still there was tons of fresh vegetables there, know, like leeks and broccoli and squashes and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was neat. And I guess they have a bit of a longer growing time, and I'm hoping that all the stuff's there, and they have a lot of larger farms around there. So I'm guessing that's where a lot of their produce came from. So,
Wow, that sounds like quite the trip.
But yes, I got to say, like, I enjoyed it all, and I thought it was absolutely amazing, but I thought we've got some of these things back here at home that you can definitely check out. And just on a bit of a smaller scale, and I think there's something we can learn from them. And
for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I mean, we've talked about that before, and then as you said, we talked about it on the show. I mean, the whole idea of, doing something a little more focused to the food carts and, you know, we've already got a healthy farmer's market, and it'd be nice to see that continue to go along. But I agree with you, like, without having been to Portland, but just knowing from our discussions outside of this, it'd be great to sort of take that influence, the fact that we are just like them, but a little bit smaller, maybe a little, maybe one step behind, and just run with it and really get people, everybody else involved in food, or make it that much more of a draw, that feature.
Yeah, well, I think we share the same thing, that we all have pride in what we're doing.
Right, yeah.
We have pride in our product. We have pride in what we're trying to accomplish.
Right,
And make life just a little bit easier for everyone, I guess.
Well, that's great. So how long were you down there for?
I was only down there for 5 days. So that was like... complete race down there. We tore down there a lot. We actually did the coastline, which is absolutely beautiful along Washington.
Oh, yeah.
All the way down. And we got in really late our first day. But
I didn't realize you'd driven down.
Yeah, we drove down, took the Coho across.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't get stopped at the border, so they let us across. So
nice.
They must not have listened to the podcast.
Right. So, and then you got back, and you're back into the routine now. You're back at Atlas.
Back here, and I actually came back because I got to go up to Campbell River.
Right.
See, another adventure. They were like, oh, an hour drive up to Campbell River. I'm like, nothing. I just did 5.5 hours from Portland to Port Angeles. But I was like, anyways, I got up there, and it was great because I got to reconnect with a chef that I have a lot of respect for. Matt McDonald, I don't know if many of you know, he's one of the first ones who organized the Shellfish Festival.
Right.
And so I worked with him quite a bit with that over the years. And actually, I remember being in the meeting where myself and so who was it? We're both like, they're like, we need a chef to coordinate them. We both said Matt at the same time. It was quite funny. Anyway, so we got to go check out the Berwick up in Campbell River, which was quite interesting because, you know, it's a retirement home and and you kind of wonder like, what kind of food are you doing up there? Anyways, Matt's in love with the place.
Oh, wow.
And he has a lot of excitement, a lot of pride around it because he's getting to create these meals and they're looking for interesting foods up there.
Right.
He's cooking for a lot of people, but they've got two kitchens up there or two restaurants that they're running.
Oh, wow.
And so it's keeping him quite occupied as well as doing events because they have an amazing view from the rooftop there of Campbell River.
Huh.
So yeah, checking out the Berwick and I was thinking, you know, when I retire, this may be a way I want to go.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it was nice. They took us for a full tour of the place and sort of showed us everything and let us have the chef's meeting there. So
wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was my interesting fact. And then one other thing before I returned back to work is I did get to go to a Cisco food show.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, which has brought up some things and has definitely bring some more conversations for our podcast here because I was thinking we want to talk about some sustainability.
Yeah.
That we had OceanWise and the SMSC program sort of. We had a little seminar where they told us about those two programs. And,
oh, yeah.
It was quite interesting just to sort of find out about like where our oceans are at and what should we be eating from the sea.
You know what? Honestly, I mean, everywhere I look, there's a lot of conflicting information out there. There's people saying that, you know, our oceans are in danger. And then there's other people saying that we're overfishing. And then there's other people that are saying that, no, we have to focus more on, a seafood diet. And there's just a lot of things that don't all mesh. And I'd love to get into that one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll talk about that in a near episode, a near future episode.
Yeah. So it was quite interesting and it was a good conversation as well as going around and sampling, you know, what Cisco has to offer because they are, you know, one of the biggest distributors for food in the world, I guess. And
yeah, that's crazy.
So they just like to show you what's up and coming and what's going on. And so, yeah, it was a great little small show up at the, and it was also great because we're at North Island College. So the students got to actually cook for all the chefs and owners for sort of the North Island that got to attend the show. So they were very busy putting up dishes and different
I'm sure it was probably nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and for sure.
Yeah, great. And anything else that we should talk about as far as, you know, what has been up?
I'm kind of looking forward to just focusing on the future.
Yeah.
Just with the podcast and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, definitely want to bring up some, I got a whole bunch of questions that keep hitting me and I want to get a panel of chefs in here. So I definitely want to call out to some chefs. Anyone who's listening who may be interested in getting into a discussion with us, definitely send us an email or something, you know, edible valley@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And we'd love to have you come in here and just have a little discussion about different food subjects and definitely like to have one on sustainability, have one on just what is a chef.
Yeah.
I'd love to have some bartenders in here and talk about what's special, like what kind of drinks, what's the future of drinks going to be? So.
Right.
Even get into some dirt with some servers and maybe we'll leave some names out and be like, it's some of those fun stories about what it's like to serve people.
Sure. You know what? I've never even thought of doing that on here, but I think that between you and I, we know enough servers that have had some pretty memorable moments out there in the industry.
I know my daughter always loves to ask. She's like, so Papa, what's the strangest food allergy you've ever had?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
What's the strangest request you've ever had? So I thought maybe we could dive into that and talk about it. So
yeah, that'd make for some comedy for sure. I think that sounds great. But I think that sort of covers everything.
Pretty much covers everything.
Yeah.
I know we haven't talked about it, but I'm just going to throw it out there.
Sure.
But I'm thinking with the Edible Valley that we're actually looking for someone to help organize us and help promote the show a little bit.
Yeah, maybe we should touch on that. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about doing that for a few years now, I think, where we've talked about wouldn't it be nice if, you know, and it just was sort of a pipe dream and whatever... yeah, just there's a lot that goes into this show, and a lot that, I mean, it might not sound like it. I mean, it's not scripted, that's for sure. but there's a lot that goes into the show, and trying to keep it afloat and trying to keep everything going. And then we've always talked about how much it would be great if there was somebody out there that wanted to help us out and organize us in exchange for, there would be remuneration. I mean, we would definitely talk about it.
Something. But we could figure that out.
Yeah.
We just haven't decided.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're really doing. So sort of like the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, yeah, maybe that is good. I never thought to do it on air, but maybe we should put that out there, that if there's anybody out there
who wants to help and get involved in the Edible Valley and wants to help support the food scene in the Comox Valley or Vancouver Island or anywhere. Someone who's just interested in food and wants to be a part of this and has some free time and wants to get involved and let us, I'd like to be able to put a little bit more effort into the shows instead of lining up guests and having those conversations. So
for sure. Yeah, that sounds great.
Anyways, definitely, I guess we should throw out a little thank you to our sponsors for helping us keep these episodes running, of course, because without them, this doesn't happen.
Yeah, right.
So definitely throw out one to, let's start with the Butcher's Block.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
There's Butcher's Block. That's who else is helping us right now? There's Butcher's Block, Atlas Cafe, Ivan's Truffles. I think that's it right now.
Well, we have Studio Live. We're going to throw them out there.
Right. This wouldn't be happening without Studio Live as well. And if you want to add your name to that list, please get in touch with us. And you can do so on our Facebook page, Edible Valley. You can do so with our through Podbean. There's a million different ways to get in touch with us. How else?
Yes, definitely send us an email at theediblevalley@gmail.com. And don't forget to check us out. And we've definitely got a few more things coming up on our WordPress site, which we go into a little bit more of a blog about some of the shows and some more photos and stuff like that. So
that's right. That's right. And definitely, like we talked about a few episodes back about how, where a lot of our ideas and a lot of our everything comes from. quite a bit of it comes from books, people, and other sources. And so if you check out our WordPress site, we give a lot of those links to a lot of those references, and you can look into it more for yourself.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening to the Edible Valley podcast.
Thanks.
Thank you.